Welcome to Frankly Speaking About Family Medicine, a CME podcast series where each week we translate today's late-breaking clinical research and news into tomorrow's practice. I'm Dr. Frank Domino, professor in the Department of Family Medicine and Community Health at the University of Massachusetts Chan Medical School and editor-in-chief of the 5-Minute Clinical Consult. This podcast is brought to you by PrimeMed. Jimmy is a 69-year-old male with history of tobacco abuse. He's status post-MI with ejection fraction reduced heart failure, COPD, type 2 diabetes, and non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. His meds currently are metoprolol, 100 milligrams a day, furosemide, 20 milligrams every morning, metformin, 1,000 milligrams BID, rosuvastatin, aspirin, and a long-acting beta agonist inhaler combined with a long-acting muscarinic antagonist. Jimmy's like, gee, doc, can I come off some of these meds? Which leaves you speechless because you were just about to start him on an SGLT2 inhibitor. Hi, this is Frank Domino, and joining me today is Dr. Susan Feeney, Associate Professor and Associate Dean of Advanced Practice Programs at the Tan Ching Fen Graduate School of Nursing at the UMass Chan Medical School. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Frank. This is not an unusual story with all of this. So you're thinking about an SGLT2 inhibitor. Remind me about them. How do they work and when are they indicated?
So these drugs like the GLP-1s came out in the mid-2010s. And at first, we were a little unsure of what their role was. But like the GLP-1s, they have a huge impact on the management of a variety of conditions. SGLT2 inhibitors act on the renal proximal tubule to reduce the reabsorption of already filtered glucose. This results in urinary excretion of that glucose. So it ultimately lowers their serum glucose and has some diuretic effect. It was initially approved for helping with glycemic control in those with type 2 diabetes, but they came with some interesting adverse effects, including genital mycotic infections, yeast infections, and increased risk for UTI, increased urination, nausea, and constipation, and a risk of amputation. The risk was extremely low and was primarily found in those with peripheral vascular disease, severe neuropathy, or a history of a diabetic foot ulcer. SGLT2 inhibitors are indicated for the improvement of glycemic control in type 2 diabetes, a reduction of major adverse cardiac events like non-fatal MI and stroke in patients with type 2 diabetes and known cardiovascular disease, a decreased risk of cardiovascular hospitalization and death for those with heart failure, especially those with heart failure with reduced ejection fraction, and lowering the risk of GFR decline and hospitalization in patients with chronic kidney disease.
This sounds like maybe a good option for Jimmy. What are common off-label uses for this medication?
Well, in particular, its use was recommended by the American Academy of Clinical Endocrinologists for non-alcoholic fatty liver disease because they felt it was an adjunctive therapy, especially in patients with the combination of type 2 diabetes and fatty liver disease. They looked at an observational study of 80,000 patients with type 2 diabetes and fatty liver in Korea, and they compared the efficacy of SGLT2 inhibitors, DPP-4 inhibitors, and sulfonylureas. And what they found was that SGLT2 inhibitors had a higher likelihood of fatty liver regression compared to the other agents. And only SGLT2 inhibitors were associated with a lower incidence of adverse liver-related outcomes, especially when compared with sulfonylureas.
So you're thinking of giving this to Jimmy. So what's the best data that would encourage you to add this? What did you look at to encourage you to use to add an SGLT2 inhibitor for his type 2 diabetes and his heart failure with reduced
That's really the key point. I mean, he's got type 2 diabetes. It may improve his glycemic control, and there's some data that shows it may not. But really, in people with heart failure, this seems like a very solid indication. I want to discuss a systematic review that looked at patients with type 2 diabetes and heart failure. And while it did not show a significant reduction in A1C levels, it decreased all-cause mortality, cardiac death, and hospitalization for heart failure in patients with type 2 diabetes and heart failure. So I think the indications are pretty clear for Jimmy. He's at risk for all of these outcomes, and this class of drug would likely be beneficial.
Yeah. So I recently heard about a study showing that it might lower the risk of kidney stone, nephrolithiasis. Would he benefit from that?
Yeah, you know, that study got in the news, and it's rather confusing. So they looked at SGLT2 inhibitors in patients with type 2 diabetes and outcomes like first nephrolithiasis. It was an observational study of 16,000 patients, and there was a slight reduction in the risk of first-time kidney stones in those on an SGLT2 inhibitors versus not. But that magnitude of risk reduction was fairly small. It was probably most prominent in those under the age of 70. But the reality of the matter is you're not going to choose to start this class of drugs to prevent something that they don't have.
That's right.
All right?
Right,
so
right.
While that made the news, I'm not sure that's a good reason that I'm going to start Jimmy or any patient on this
right.
class of drug.
I mean, it would be an added benefit if that was his history, maybe. Maybe.
Right. But so. And that wasn't shown in the study. So
right, right.
Yeah.
So any final thoughts on this class of drug?
Well, Jimmy's not excited about his current list of meds. So now I've got to talk to him about a med that's going to make him urinate more frequently, may cause a yeast infection, and rarely causes a severe side effect that leads to an amputation. But I want to remind Jimmy that, you know, his long-term health, his long-term risks for dying will be significantly lower by adding this drug to his class. And I'd like to encourage him to just give it a try. Start with a low dose, recognize it may make him urinate a bit more, and then follow him pretty closely. And he'll probably find some benefit with his heart failure symptoms. And taking it's probably more efficacious than some of the other things he's already on. So I'm going to support him in this.
Absolutely. And as you said, his heart failure is his main concern. Well, thank you, Frank. This was very informative.
Thanks, Susan. Practice pointer, adding an SGLT2 inhibitor to those with type 2 diabetes can help improve outcomes, especially for those with heart failure with a reduced ejection fraction. Join us next time while we talk about children with otitis media and effusion and the best treatments for that condition. Thank you for listening to Frankly Speaking About Family Medicine, brought to you by PrimeMed. To claim CME credit and receive additional information about the article referenced in today's episode, follow the link in the description. To stay up to date on the most recent clinical research and news, please subscribe to Frankly Speaking About Family Medicine and be sure to check out PrimeMed.com for additional CME content.